The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we are predicting episode number 11 of Survivor 48, and I am joined by Austin from Survivor 45. He is going to be here spilling good thoughts to all of you for the next hour or so, telling us that things are going to get better. They're going to get better. They're going to get better. Right, Austin? That's what you're here for?
Yes, exactly. I mean, I believe it. You know, I got to say, I'll just say right off the bat, I think Mitch is cooking on something. I feel like he's waiting. I feel like he was like, okay, I just need, like, if I waited one more round, the move that I want to make, it's a better chance. You know, there's seven people instead of eight. I don't have to risk going to rocks and I can still make it happen. I think that's what he's believing. Whether or not it happens, we'll see. But I'm hopeful.
I love that you started off, first thing you say is about a positive for Mitch, because our viewership, we were at like 150 viewers. It just dropped to 55. Everybody was just like, we don't want to hear this Mitch nonsense. Let's get out of here. It's crazy. I do think that Mitch is probably super frustrated, but at the same time, I'm seeing Mitch starting to retweet and repost, I guess is what it is now. He's reposting some of the meaner tweets about him. And it's been actually very funny of Mitch leaning into it and just being like, screw you guys. If you don't think I'm going to like see this, if you think you're going to get away with it. Cause I will say, if you meet Mitch in real life, he's a very nice guy, but if he finds out that you're sending these mean tweets about you, he might just like push you down some stairs or something. I don't know. Like, my God. I love it though. I love that he's leaning in.
No. Yeah. You never know. And like a lot of people, you go through the casting process, you play, you come back, and you're not prepared, no matter how hard you try, for what people online are going to say about you, how often they're going to say it, how they're going to say it to you, where they're going to say it. Like, it gets to a point where it can get suffocating, where it's like anytime you're on your phone, no matter what app you're on, no matter what you're doing, you're getting notified and you're seeing stuff. And it's like, dang, like, so he's going through it. He's getting the full Survivor experience. You know, it's part of being a player. You have to be able to be dissected like that. And I'm glad that he's rolling with the punches, because it can be tough and some people don't really recover. So props to him for slapping back.
Well, yeah. And I know I had Andy on last week, and Andy's whole approach was don't read anything, like just disregard it, whatever.
See, he does what everyone is like told to do. He's like, don't look at anything. He's like, okay, I won't. But like for normal people, it's hard to do that. You know, it's like your curiosity strikes. It's like, how are you not going to see like what someone is saying oftentimes? But respect to Andy and anyone who can do that, like do that. It's much healthier. Be stronger than me.
There was like 3 weeks ago, I want to say it was, where like the comments turned very nasty on our channel here. And I was like, I'm not going to read comments anymore. It's not worth it. And then I was like, no, but I need to see what other mean things somebody said. There's like a weird joy that comes from reading that. But you're also, I feel like you're kind of seeing, Mitch is kind of getting the same flack that you got, which was like, why are you not turning on D? Why are you not turning on D? Why are you not turning on D? And then when you ultimately finish runner up, everybody's like, see, we all told you so. But you were one vote away from a tie. Like, you were one vote away from Jake walking up there and casting the tie breaking vote. And we don't know where this is going to turn for Mitch at this point. We have no idea, but Mitch could be one vote away from a tie. He could actually be playing. I keep saying he could be playing a Bob Crowley winning game right now, where he's just rolling with it, rolling with it, rolling with it. But man, has he become the focal point after David gets booted and the internet was like, Mitch, you are now in our crosshairs. We hate you. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, you got to think it's like, and, you know, I'm sure guests have said this a million times, but like the viewers, we all see it like, you know, 1% of everything. That's like obvious. We all know that, but it's like, not only do you see, you know, the other 99% or whatever when you're out there playing, but also you have to like sift through the 99, because like a lot of it is like useless information. It's not important. They're lies. Like as an audience, we're fed not only 1%, but like the 1% of the truth, which makes it a lot easier to be like, oh yeah, Mitch is clearly on the bottom. Like, I really think that he doesn't think that he is, like that he thinks that he's got a four group that'll have the numbers next round and that'll be able to take over. And it's so obvious for us to be like, why aren't you flipping? This is your last shot. Like, what are you going to do? For him, he's probably like, I just got to wait one more time and I can finally do this move. But yeah, no, it's, I got a lot of shit for sure, you know, especially towards the end. Thankfully for me, it was like not a ton of rounds. It was like right at the very end, like, oh my gosh, why did you tell D that the plan was to vote Julie or whatever? And And yeah, like you said, I only ended up coming, you know, a couple of votes away from winning. But when, you know, the story is being told of like how the winner won and all this stuff, like things change depending on how you do it. And the story that's being told is changing depending on the outcome of the entire season. So it's really hard to get a full picture. Do I think Mitch wins? Probably not. And, you know, maybe if he did, this whole past episode will turn into like how he had all the patience to wait one more round when everyone was telling him to make this move, but he held his ground and decided to wait one more round. But I think he doesn't win. So it's instead a story about how this was a move that he should have made, but he didn't.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're heading to. And I think that's what the frustration with the audience is, right? Is we're starting to get to the point, I think, as an audience where it's, will anybody actually make a move? Because I think what's so fascinating about this season is there is nothing unlikable about Joe or Eva, mm-hmm. but everybody's rooting against Joe and Eva right now because we just don't want it to be a steamroll. We don't want it to be a very, very basic final three. That's just not what Survivor is anymore. And I think like, they could get away with it in the early seasons with these steamroll seasons because the show was more about the adventure. It was about the locations. It was about look at all the cool stuff they're doing. It was more about those things. Now it's like, hey, we didn't go to the sanctuary. We went to a different hut on a different island because at least they got on a boat with beanbags. Like, it's so different. And that's why you can't get away with these boring type votes anymore because the show has become something that is very based on balance shifting constantly. And that is not happening on this season at all.
That's a great point. I mean, like on some of the other slower seasons, they throw in a really cool reward you've never seen before, like a crazy helicopter, or they're going to a school and helping with kids and doing all these crazy things, or doing like a native ritual or whatever that you've never seen before. And that makes it interesting. And I totally agree when it's all the same types of rewards and challenges, it does get kind of repetitive. And I feel like Survivor is working on improving that. There's been less of the sanctuary, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm
I think there's
like,
only been one or two trips this season. It has not been much at all.
Yeah. So I think they've heard the fans being like, okay, we're done hearing how, you know, the sanctuaries where good things happens, blah, blah, blah. I don't think I've heard that this line and, you know, this season and yeah, they've only went once. So I'm hopeful that they're slowly adapting. You know, they've added tribe swaps. I think it's like with the new era, they started back from square one and then now they're re-adding new elements each time and shifting it. So I think they are listening to fans, and I am hopeful that even if the location doesn't change, the format, the challenges, and the rewards will be evolving to keep it fresh.
And we have in the hands of the fans coming in two seasons. So, so I mean, they better be listening to the fans more. Otherwise, what are we all voting for, and what are we all wasting our time for every time?
Exactly. So exactly.
I think, though, like I've been saying that, for as stagnant as some of the gameplay has felt, there are good things that like the editors are doing a much better job because they're creating drama out of nothing. This last episode was the first one where I felt like there was no drama. The ones before that, there were parts of me that was like, is this going to happen? Will this flip take place? And this was the first episode where it didn't. And then, yeah, not going to the sanctuary. It seems like Jeff even realized that like we shouldn't have done the rice negotiation this past week. And he just wanted to rush through it because he knew it was going to be stupid and it's not going to come back. At least that's what I'm hoping. My fingers are crossed. But what are you actually thinking of the season as a whole so far?
You know, I wish I could come here and be like, give this really hot take that no one else is thinking. But like, I feel like in general, like I have to mainly agree with what people are saying. Like, I love the pre-merge. It was so much fun. I was like, this season is going to be iconic. We're going to have some characters that are going to be all-time players. It's going to be awesome. And I still think, you know, it's still a good cast overall. It's just, it definitely has been slowing down. I think the dynamics just haven't really been shifting as much as that like viewers like, and, you know, honestly, that's a testament to how strong and dominant of a game the top dogs are this season. But, yeah, no, I haven't been thoroughly entertained the past few episodes, I gotta say.
What do you think it is, though? Because 45 is pretty well received. Like, I don't think that's a crazy thing to say with you sitting here. It's not just because you're sitting here. Like, 45 is a well-received season, but Reba dominates that season. So what do you think it is that was more entertaining about that and why people like that compared to what's happening right now?
I think the storytelling was very different. With 45, sure, like the Reba 4, we all went to the end and we did really well. But our story was kind of like a backstory until the last third of the season. I think the way that 45 is broken out is like, one, the downfall of Lulu, two, the downfall of Bello, three, the downfall of Reba. And that made it fresh, where it was like each storyline was only like, you know, four episodes, five episodes or whatever, versus, you know, I feel like we've been on this Eva Joe thing since episode one and it hasn't slowed down at all. And I think that's what gets it a little bit stagnant, is when like the storyline has kind of stayed the same from episode one till now. Whereas 45, it was like a whole different focus every few episodes, which made it interesting. Like by the time Reba had its focus, like people didn't really know us that well. Everyone was all on board of like, you know, Emily and Caleb and Lulu, and they were like going crazy about the Kelly blindside and Bruce. And then they were like, oh wait, we got to pay attention to Reba. And by then, you know, there was only a few episodes left.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think, you know, whether you're watching scripted TV, unscripted TV, whatever's set up in episode one, you want to see fluctuations in that, right? Like you want to see the up and down that the characters go through. I don't know like what shows you watch, but like if anybody watches Lost, it's like, here's Jack and Kate. Now we're going to watch Jack and Kate go through this love triangle thing with Sawyer for however long. And there's going to be changes that happen that keep you invested in that storyline while they're also doing the stuff on the island. Joe and Eva's story has been so one note the entire time. It has not changed. There hasn't been an evolution. It was Joe saying, she's got me. She came to the right person. I got her back. And it was Eva being like, Joe's my superhero. And now we're at episode 11. Joe's got her. Eva's like, that's my superhero. Like there has not been a change, and they haven't had to go through any real hardship at all. Because even when they were broken up very briefly by the tribe swap, Eva's tribe never goes. Joe's tribe goes one time, but all the focus was just on Thomas being too sneaky. So we never actually felt like Joe was in danger. And so now we're right back to the same storyline. Yeah. And would you watch a scripted TV show if I told you episode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, every one of them on HBO is going to have the exact same dynamic between the two main characters? You wouldn't watch that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But honestly, it's like no fault to the players. And that's a tough thing where it's like, that means you're playing well. If you're not going through all this drama, if you're so secure and in lockstep with your alliance member the entire game, you're doing something right. I mean, that's a dream that every Survivor hopeful player has. Like they go out and they're like, I want to have a number one who like I can truly roll with. And you've got a couple this season. You've got Joe and Eva, you've got Kyle and Camilla. And even though like the dynamics aren't changing too much, it's like as a player, that's not your fault. Like you are playing the game to the best of your ability and you're killing it by having such a strong alliance that people aren't even targeting. It's just, yeah, when you're watching it as a viewer, it's like, oh, like, come on, someone do something. But yeah, as a player, like props to them. They're playing the game well. And like, you know.
And most of the seasons that are universally disliked have the most dominant winners. Redemption Island, One World. Like these are seasons where nothing happens because the alliances are so dominant. And it's like, where can you appreciate the dominance of the game? And I think what people want to see at this point is when they see it end, if Joe wins, if Eva wins, and then you go back and rewatch the season, is it more satisfying? Are you more okay with it? Or is it a Redemption Island where you're like, I can't even watch this? Or is there an overthrow of power or somebody else wins and you say, wait, what happened? And now it's more satisfying as you go through. So it's very fascinating how the show has changed because we're on season 48. And I was talking about those older seasons, like 1, 2, 3, very popular seasons. There's no changing of dynamics that whole season. Like Lex and Ethan are the show. But again, like you were talking about, they go into the village. They give the soccer balls away. You get to know these people on a human level. You get to see a different part of the world than you've ever seen. That's what's missing here. So even if the dynamic can't change, what we're watching otherwise has to change. And right now, I'm watching the same season of Survivor that I've been watching, just with people who aren't playing an insane way like we just saw in 47 and in 46.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gameplay... Yeah, I feel like the meta of how the gameplay is, it's like there's parts of it that evolve nonstop and there's other parts that are very cyclical. And like we have like, you know, where you go out and you really weigh heavily the seasons that were right before yours. And I think this season was very much looking at like, you know, 47 and 46 and 45 and being like, okay, you know, the safest way to get to the end is you band together as a group, you know, you play like a strong four essentially. And then you really value trust and loyalty because in the past couple seasons, it's all about blindsides and that makes it so confusing and hard to play. We want to have like a community where no one's lying. Everyone's telling the truth. And it's like, you're acting off of like the past couple seasons. And, you know, I think after this season, the game will change a lot. I don't think there's going to be a strong man, you know, person alliance in the near future, because that's going to be shut down right from the start, just like how it was for a while, you know, after a bunch of, you know, strong dudes were winning the 30s and such.
Mm-hmm. And I'm curious with 49 going out there, and we know 49's already out on location, right? Like they, I think somebody tweeted the other day that they've merged, like we're already 12 days into that season or something. Oh, wow. So sorry, I got like the hiccups all of a sudden, but so you have season 49 that's going out and playing. They didn't see David get booted. I think they went out right before David got booted. So they're going out there with like this whole rolling dice is bad. We're over that. If we have the choice, we're probably not going to roll them. And then they're also thinking, screw this strong person alliance thing. I don't like this. This is boring. They're seeing the last thing they're seeing before they step foot in Fiji is people complaining about how boring the final 12, final 11, and final 10 votes were. And so it makes you wonder, are they going to go out there and try to play this totally different game? I think that's a great point. And it will be interesting to see how that cast views if there is a Jonathan Young, David Kinney type looking person out there.
No, it's tough because there's a lot of things that come to play. I mean, like when you're a player too, it's like you want to be a part of a good season. You don't want to be a part of a crap season that no one wants to watch, that you have to like force your friends, be like, please, please watch this. Like, I promise it might not get better, but like, I'm on it. Please watch it for me or whatever. You know, you want it to be like, this is so cool. Like, I don't even have to tell people to watch it. They'll want to watch it. They'll get hooked. I don't even have to like sell it, whatever. But you know, because of that, I'm hoping, you know, people will see that and be like, oh yeah, we don't want that to happen again or whatever. But also, because they've only seen half of the season 48, it's unclear how much weight they're going to put into that. Because like, if I were them going out, I'd be like, oh, you know, this strong personalized, yeah, as if that's going to last. They're going to start picking off each other. People are going to go for them. Like, I have no faith that it's going to make it to the end together. So who knows how much weight it'll have. I think 47 will probably still have a little more weight, but we'll see. It is fun to watch a season knowing the last season that they watched and seeing how that affects the season itself.
Yeah. No, I think that's going to be very compelling, especially if we see, like I've always said, and I'll say it until I'm like dead, especially if Camilla were to pull this off or something. And now it's like the little strategic girl who wins again, like we see it, I guess that would be almost what, 6 in the new era or 5 in the new era, whatever it is. And it's like, if that player wins and they go out there and like, screw this strong person lines. And then they come back and they watch the end of 48 and they go, how the hell did Camilla win? She wasn't supposed to be the one who won that. And then they're sitting there going, and whoever the smallest woman on our season is about to win the season. Like it's very fascinating how this could impact season 49. And obviously we're getting so far ahead of ourselves, but it is worth having that conversation, because I think right now people are at the point where they're like, we hate 48 to the point of like 50 just needs to hurry up, because if my favorites aren't on 50, I just want to be done with the show.
Yeah. And 50, that's a whole nother element. I mean, like, are they saving a spot for someone on 49? And are people playing with the assumption that the best character of the whole cast gets to go on 50? I'm assuming they will be playing with that, whether it's true or not. I think in the back of every single player's minds on 49 was like, if I do really well, I could be like Malcolm and be asked right back, be like Russell, whatever, and play twice back to back. It'll be amazing. So I'm sure people are going to be thinking that when they're out there, and hopefully that means extra fun gameplay too.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point, because you're talking Rupert, Stephanie and Bobby John, Amanda and James, Russell, Malcolm. And then you go all the way up to 30 because of 31 second chance being right after that. All those people got voted on Woo. And even though he was on 28, but it's like you had all these people getting voted in, Joe and Shireen and all of that. And then you jump to 40 and there's nobody from 39, but that's because it was only the winner could be on there. And at that point, they probably weren't going to have Tommy flying out there, because it's going to spoil who wins that season. And they're not going to do that. So I like where your head's at on that, because generally too, you know, not to look too much into this, but if you get asked back for the returning player season and you're the one who was just on the most recent season, you generally get the biggest edit too. You're generally the biggest star of the show.
Yeah, you're the one that everyone remembers from the last season. And you're at such a huge advantage because you know exactly how everyone else plays, but no one knows how you play.
Yeah.
You know, like for a player like Russell, the advantage that gives is like, it gives him a 1% chance of winning the game, or like a 0.0001% if people had watched his first season, to like, he actually has a shot. He could make it to the end. Like, had people seen him for more than 5 minutes, he's out like first, second, third, fourth, whatever. But anyone on 49 who ends up sneaking on to 50, like, watch for them to make a really deep run into the game. Yeah. Plus, it's also nice because it's like, you know, I don't want to get in all like pre-gaming or whatever, like, you know, whatever, it doesn't happen, whatever. But people 49, you know for sure it doesn't happen. So it's like, that's a very safe ally that you could work with, being like, okay, they have no existing relationships with other people. So yeah, I'm going to put an early 49 prediction that whoever, or 50 prediction that whoever is pulled in from 49, if someone, will make it to the final three.
There you heard it here first. 20 minutes, 50 seconds into the episode 11 predictions for Survivor 48. Austin has already made a final three prediction for Survivor 50. I love it though, because you know what? Everybody on the Villains tribe and everybody in the Heroes tribe said it. If they had seen Russell play, he does not make it past the first tribal council. He is
there. We go. There we go.
They don't waste their time voting out Randy. They vote him out instead. So, jumping back to this season though, where's your head at on Shaheen and Mary now in the middle of all this? Obviously Mary's on the outs. She might feel like she's on the bottom. So maybe they're not the same player, but where are you feeling with these people who don't have a pair?
I feel like their story has been the most confusing to me of the people left. Like, I don't really, it's hard for me to like, I don't know. Like, on one hand, Mary, it's like, okay, she could be the next one out, but she could also like be under the radar. They forgot about her. They're like, okay, wait, now it's time. We're taking these shots, you know, at the big dogs or whatever. And she could slip into final three. Like, I feel like her position is one where I'm like most in between different positions. And with Shaheen too, like, I can't tell if like, does he have the makings of a winner? Does he have the makings of like a fire making loser? Does he have the makings of a second place person? Like, it's also really confusing because I think like we are getting his perspective on a lot of the episodes, but I don't know if he has as strong of relationships as, you know, like a Kyle or a Joe, for example. So I'm not sure how they are. Like, I do think that they're kind of like in the middle right now. Mm-hmm. If, you know, once we jump into the power rankings or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, because Shaheen's an interesting one. When Will and I did the recap this week, he feel like Shaheen can win. And then Blake and I go and do digging deeper the next day, and Blake doesn't feel like he can win. And I'm kind of in like the middle on it. I feel like he's probably got like the third or fourth best chance out of these seven to win, if I'm just ranking it based off edit and what I've seen and all that. But yeah. What I want to know is, who does Shaheen think he can beat? Because that's what we haven't heard from him. That's, we haven't heard him say, I can't beat Joe and Eva, so I need to go with Kyle and Camilla. Or we haven't heard him say, I can beat Camilla, but I don't think I can beat Kyle. And I can't beat Joe, but maybe I can beat Eva. Like, where does he feel he fits in all this? Because he has to think that if he gets to final four or final five, or really final four, let's say Camilla's out, if he gets to final four with Kyle, himself, Eva, and Joe, he's fourth, no? And if he gets to final three, how does he win against any of them? So that's what I'm confused about his game right now.
You know, I mean, he is what, like a professor in speech and debate.
He's a debate professor, yeah. Yep.
I mean, a battle of him, and we got Kyle, like an attorney, right? So like, we have them going head to head. Like, I wouldn't count Shaheen out either, because like, of having a great ability to speak your case. I'm sure he's someone who's like, starting in, you know, day five, has already been practicing his final tribal speech and getting like jotting down all the notes of what he wants to say, how he's going to say it. I'm sure at this point in the game, he already has a plan of like, this is how I'm going to capture their attention. This is going to be the hook. This is going to be, and like, he's laid out this like beautiful final tribal speech. I hope we get to see it, because I'm really curious to see what he pulls out. So I wouldn't count him out, but like you said, like with the edit specifically, I don't know if I see him as the winner right now either, but I'm very curious to see what happens.
Yeah. And Blake always describes Final Tribal Council as a immunity challenge. Like, it's just another challenge. Yeah. And that's how he describes it, where it's like, somebody's going in with the advantage, but then whatever little hiccups come up throughout that can influence who actually ends up winning. And you could get an upset in this final challenge, and there's going to be somebody who's going to be a better speaker than somebody else. and Shaheen probably would be the favorite if all else was equal. But all else is not going to be equal. They're all coming in carrying their own weight, right? Like, they're all carrying their own baggage from the game. So now he's got to be able to overcome what some of these other players aren't going to be able to overcome. I'd love to see it too, so I don't have to have a question about Shaheen the way I have a question about Liz Wilcox. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know if he's ultimately going to get there, although pretty much everybody I podcast with disagrees with me.
No, and, you know, you're bringing up, like, the jury, and that's the hardest thing too. A jury and understanding exactly what they're looking for. I think we had a confessional, someone this episode, maybe it was Kyle, being like, I don't think the jury is looking for people who are backstabbing and lying. People want pure honesty this season. And I think that's what you say when you're terrified that, like, oh man, I made a move and people are going to be pissed at me. And going into a final tribal council with just the threat of a bitter jury is terrifying. I was terrified my, like, entire post-merge that the jury hated me, that it was going to be an absolute bitter jury. And just the thought, whether it's true or not, like, it makes you, it affects your gameplay. It affects how you present yourself. I remember at tribal councils, like, I would not even, like, look at my jury bench, because whenever I did, they were, like, shooting daggers at us, just like David was this episode. And that does rattle you. And it's hard not to be, it's like, holy cow, like, these people who, like, I helped end their game are just watching me now, and they hate me and they hate my guts. And that's what you're telling yourself the entire time. So I do think someone like a Kyle or Shaheen, who has a lot of experience talking in front of, you know, probably angry people, do have a leg up in this part, you know, this challenge. I like that you call it.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. Do I still sound okay? I accidentally, I muted my mic for a sec. I don't sound
like you're good.
Okay, good. No, I think that's a good point. And a lot of people are talking about how they think this jury is going to be bitter based on David's reaction. And they actually feel like David might be the one who has a little bit of an impact on the people who are coming, because he could kind of say, I told you so, to a lot of these people. We're seeing Camilla talk a lot about jury management and things like that. We had Mary talk about Joe was shamelessly trying to jury manage her. Yeah. Do you see this being a little bit more of a bitter jury then, especially since the people who might sit at the end are trying to play up? I was honest. It was all integrity.
Like, I don't think Cedric, Chrissy, they don't give off, I'm super bitter, especially Cedric. He's just like, ah, cool, like, whatever. David absolutely seems bitter. And that scene that you're talking about with Joe talking with Mary, I think, if anything, that's probably the, and, you know, forgive me if I don't remember things from past episodes as well, but, like, that was, like, the most damning thing I saw about Joe this entire season in terms of edits. Like, wow, someone's actively saying, like, I don't think I'll vote for him if he gets to the end, essentially, which is something that was very surprising to me, because, you know, I think me and a lot of people think that Joe's got, like, the makings of a winner, like a winner edit. He's got this, like, he's playing this really good game. He's got these great connections. It seems like people really like him. And this is the first time I was like, wait, like, people don't really like him and how he's playing this game. And which is really, really interesting to see. And with the bitter jury, you know, David, he had so much weight on the island with the rest of his tribe. You can only imagine that on the jury, he will also have a lot of weight with the same people. So if he's bitter, I'm sure he could poison a lot of other people to be a little bit upset too. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a lot of weight in the ultimate decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For Patreon, we're doing token chains now, but then we're getting into Samoa. So I've been rewatching Samoa, and you brought up Russell earlier. What's fascinating about watching Samoa is, as you watch episode by episode, everybody's talking about, yeah, Russell's playing the best game. I'm going to vote for him to win. I'm going to vote for him to win. I'm going to vote for him to win. It seems like Russell has it in the bag. Wow. But when they get to Ponderosa, Eric hated Russell so much.
Wow.
And he was so respected by that Galoo tribe. And then Laura gets there and she's so over Russell that they really were able to influence. Dave Ball's coming out of the game saying, I'm going to vote for Russell to win. By the end of the game, he votes for Natalie. And I think that that is something you could see on this season, where in the game, people are saying, no, I'm going to vote for Joe. I'm going to vote for Eva. And then as they get kicked out of the game, they say, wait, I was never a part of their plan. Screw them.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's the first time I heard that about Samoa. You know, that's why I come here. I feel like I get smarter every time, you know, become a better player listening to you speak. But
I'm trying to prep you for, if you're not on 50, for new era all-stars that's coming, you know, that's what I'm trying to prep you for, Austin.
I appreciate it. Thank you. But yeah, no, it's, That's a really good point. Thankfully, though, like Joe and Eva, they haven't been nearly to the diabolical levels of Russell Hans. But you can even see in some of the scenes, like Joe and Eva are rubbing people the wrong way, and they, you know, are antagonizing some of the people on the bottom. And if that spreads to the jury and they become aware of like that, then I could see them losing some votes if they made it to the end.
Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to get into our power rankings in a second here, but I have to ask you then, we're at final seven. We had David go at 9, which I thought was a pretty big move, right? That was a flipping of some sort of power. He was, you know, strong 5 all the way, whatever. But last week was, you know, a very by the book star goes. Mary was the other vote. There was really no drama because it was the two people on the bottom. Are we going to get, in your opinion, a Joe and Eva waltz their way to the end? Or do you think there's one more move left in this game?
Listen, I don't know how like much just hope this is, but I think there's one more move. Mm-hmm. I think Joe's got a big target on him. I think it just continues to get bigger. His name does get brought up. I don't think Eva's name has like ever gotten brought up. Maybe like once early on, like maybe Star was like, oh, maybe Eva or something like that. But Joe's name's been brought up, and like, you know, Eva's has all the advantages and stuff. I could see them taking a shot at Joe. And I'm hoping that they at least try to see what happens. Mm-hmm. But they're running out of time for sure, because Eva and Joe, they're really close. You know, like Kyle won't want to vote out Joe, but is down to if Camilla wants to. But they're, you know, they're running out of numbers and time to do this. So I'm hoping the next episode we will see that shift.
And yeah, I don't know if you saw Kelly Wentworth's video on TikTok, Instagram, all that. She was talking about the whole Eva thing of like, why is nobody talking about voting out Eva? That's like, it was crazy. Last week we talked about it a lot. It's, well, we can't get Joe, so we might as well go for the people on the bottom. It's like, no, you can't get Joe, so go for Joe's closest ally. What are you doing?
Like, I feel like they're just so scared of being rocked by her advantages. I mean, what does she have now? Like an idol and a safety without power?
Yeah, she has both.
Are there any other advantages in the game?
You know, I don't think there are. For some reason, somebody on Twitter convinced me last week Mitch had an extra vote. Mitch has never had an extra vote, and he used his block of vote during the Say tribal or whatever. So I think those are the only two things in the game, right?
Yeah. Wow. And that's scary. But it is true. It's like, wouldn't you want to like try at least flushing it so that it's out there and someone else can have a crack at finding the idol or something? But I'm sure people are nervous. Plus, Eva seems to be so good with people that like I would be scared if I were not with her, that if I was trying to start a plan to get rid of her, it would come back to her and then she would screw me over. Because I mean, like, everyone knows Joe will tell Eva.
Yep.
And then, you know, probably people are like, oh, maybe Kyle will tell Joe. If we tell Kyle, who will tell Eva? And then like maybe Shane will tell Joe, who will tell Eva, or whatever. Like maybe the dynamics out there are one where it's like Eva's too connected to the majority that there's no way to get this plan moving without the chance of it coming back to her.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's dive into this first. I want to, Neo Kuro says, that was me. Sorry. I don't care if your image here is a cute puppy. You made me look stupid. You know, I gotta take my shots here, man. You made me look bad. I just bought in hook, line, and sinker. I was like, yeah, he has an extra vote. Let's go. Unbelievable. Let's dive into this then. Who do you think the safest person this week is?
I mean, I think the safest person's Eva. I think I heard every single name be brought up this episode except Eva and Shaheen. Somehow no one wants to vote her out. And like I said, like if someone does want to vote her out, I think she will catch wind of it. And what's going to stop her from playing an advantage? At final seven, she even has an option to like play an advantage for no reason, just because she has two advantages to use. And when does the safety without power expire?
So that's actually a confusion that I have. I forget if it's 6 or 7. I think it's 7, but then I think she's telling people 6, but it might be 6 and she's telling people 7. I can't remember what it actually is. So
familiar.
Yeah, I can't remember which one it is, because the extra vote was good till either 7 or 6 and the other was good till 6. Like they were opposite and I can't remember. And maybe the chat can help, but I feel like it's been like 50-50 split when I ask people. So I can't remember, and I'd probably very simple just rewatch the episode, but I haven't done that.
Yeah. So. It's a lot of work. Yeah. I'm not sure either, but
well, do you want to know how original you are with this Eva pick? You ready to hear this?
Not at all. Like, it did.
The last six guests have had her at number one.
I mean, maybe that's just the edit. That's a storytelling. We're all being forced to believe that Eva is the safest person in the world. And then, like, what reason do we have to think otherwise? Like, not only is she so stacked with every advantage, but her name never comes up. Like, and like, I don't even know if we hear people saying bad stuff about her very much. So it's like, she just seems so safe. You know, if I had to bet $1 million, I would put it on Eva to make it through one more round.
Mm-hmm. And last week I put Eva in the bottom spot because I felt like it made sense. Joe wins immunity. She gets voted out because they're going to try to flush all of her stuff. I am putting Eva right at number one right now because there's no way. If they're not bringing her up last week, why would you bring her up this week? I think you might have missed your chance. And now, again, the 48 cast is probably sitting here laughing at me going, dumbass, you should have just stuck with it one more week. But I feel like at this point, if they didn't bring her up last week, they're not bringing her up this week.
No, exactly. I mean, they brought up six names last week. They've got momentum behind so many names. There's no momentum behind Eva. Bring that up will make someone be like, whoa, where did this come from? Like, you're a loose cannon. Like, that's crazy.
Yep. So we're both in agreement on number one. Who do you have at number two?
Number two, I have Kyle. I'm shocked.
It's going to be a boring episode.
Oh, we have the same thing. Well,
I have the same thing.
Great minds, you know. I wonder if it'll stay the same towards the end. I guess I'll speed run this one. You know, honestly, this would be shocked if he goes home soon. I don't know if I've heard anyone say bad things about him, and he's in such a great position where he's the one who truly has his like toes dipped on both sides of the playing field. So he's got Camilla, and you know, as much as Joe and Eva are a perfect alliance, a Kyle Camilla is also a dream worthy alliance. Right now, it does seem that Kyle's kind of on the better end of this, and Camilla is like forced to hold on to this because she doesn't have the other connections or is not part of the majority alliance. But I really liked how Kyle did his reward challenge selections to help out Camilla. I mean, that's definitely a sign of a great teammate. And like he was saying, like, Survivor's really won in the margins. I think that was a very savvy move. Whenever you go and you have the chance to like pick people on reward, it's a lot of pressure and a lot of people mess it up because it's, you know, it is as much of a move as anything else that you can make on Survivor. Who you choose to bring with you and who you choose to leave at home is so important. It can absolutely derail your game, but it can also be a small move forward that pushes, like gives you what you need to end up winning or push you to the end. I think he played it great. Even the people he left at home while they were upset, like Mitch was pissed, but like, Mitch didn't do anything about it. So it was a great move. Joe immediately understood, like, hey, like I'm here to babysit this group. Like, that's exactly what you want. So he played that great. That was a great move by Kyle. And I think he really understands the social dynamics of the rest of the tribe. So I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah, I haven't really seen the Joe winner at it all season the way a lot of people have. And I feel like this has shifted to Kyle. I feel like what we're hearing from Kyle are those winner quotes. And that's why I put him at two here, because Joe and Eva don't want to vote Kyle out of the game. Camilla doesn't want to vote Kyle out of the game. So Kyle can't be in the minority this week. If the other people don't want to go with him to vote out Joe or Eva, then he's going to have the numbers because he'll just go with Joe and Eva and Camilla doesn't have a choice. If they do want to vote out Joe and Eva, then he'll go with that side. Camilla protects him from being the target of any of them. And Joe and Eva are playing too straightforward of a game to vote Kyle out. So it would take some crazy blindside. And I know that the description for next week's episode talks about a journey or something like that could flip things on its head. Who knows what that means? Maybe an advantage comes in that screws Kyle. Yeah. Maybe Eva leaves a tribe. But from what I'm seeing, Mary, Shaheen, Camilla, and Mitch are not teaming up to vote Kyle out of the game no matter what. Joe and Eva aren't writing his name down, so how does he go home? I don't think he can.
No, yeah. Mary brought it up for a second the last episode, immediately shut down. I could see that being her downfall. She brings up Kyle and is like, all right, well, I guess we got to get rid of Mary now. But yeah, I agree. I think Kyle's playing an excellent game. He really understands, I think, the social connections. He has the spot on both sides. I think he's bearing like a crazy blindside or an advantage being played. I think he's totally safe. And on the next time on Survivor, it was him being like, I have to make a really tough decision on who to cut. And that definitely plays into the rest of my power rankings. But the last thing I want to say is with that journey, because I totally forgot that there's a journey that's happening. for my season, there was a journey at the final seven. I'm wondering if it'll be similar where Emily went, had to solve a puzzle, and if she got it, she gets an extra vote. So who knows? Maybe someone will be getting an extra vote, which I don't know how I feel with seven, because once again, that'll just bump it back up to an eight vote, you know, potential of a rocks thing. So hopefully it's not an extra vote, but
we'll see. It's not an extra vote too, because I feel like now, I mean, the only people that it can actually affect if it gets in their hands are like Mitch, Mary, Camilla. If it gets into the hands of Joe, Eva, or Shaheen, it doesn't do us anything. You know, even Kyle,
it just makes them safer. Like, it's like, well, I guess it's, they're not, you know, the bottom will not rise up at all.
If Eva goes on the journey and gets an extra vote, the internet is going to explode, Austin. It is going to hit levels we have not seen in years.
Hey, well, respect to her. She is an advantage beast. Sometimes, you know, when it rains, it pours, it just keeps on coming, and no fault to her as a player, but
no, you know, play the game that you're given, right? I mean, that's what Ben always said. He's like, did you not want me to find the idols? Did you not want me to win the immunity challenges? Literally. Like, I'm going to win it. I don't care.
Yeah. Go off, Eva, go on that journey, get another advantage. And
if they're dumb enough to if they're dumb enough to let Eva go, that's on the players. That's not on Eva.
Exactly. Totally.
I want to throw this super chat up from Nicole. He says, I think Kyle is getting the Charlie/Sam losing finalist edit. He's the narrator of the season, and we as viewers are seeing his great gameplay, but I fear for the jury's perception of him. What do you think about that?
It also hits home for me. So I, let me reread that. I was getting flashbacks to my own.
I'll throw it up there. Yeah. I'm going to look at your confessional count too, compared to theirs, just so we have it.
Let's see. I think I'm going to, I mean, do we have confessionals from other players of like saying what their perception of Kyle is? Because I remember very clearly last episode where someone, you know, where Mary's like, I don't buy anything that Joe's telling me. He's obviously trying to jury manage. It was dumb. They called out David for trying to jury manage. Have they called out Cal yet for trying to jury manage or anything like that?
I don't feel like they have. I really don't. I don't feel like they've really called out Kyle for really much of anything. Cause I feel like every time we hear from Kyle, it's him trying to figure out which side to go. And then how does that affect Camilla? I don't feel like we're hearing what Kyle feels a lot about a lot of people. We're not hearing what a lot of people feel about Kyle.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with that. And that's what makes it really confusing, because I think right now there are cases for a few different people to win the entire game. And I think it really will come down to final tribal council and what the jury is looking for. And I'm wondering if that's like one of the stories that they're trying to bake into the edit right now, is like, they want us to go into the final being like, who's going to win? Like, there are multiple people who have different stories. They're playing different games. And I think the reveal is going to be like what the jury's actually wanted. And then we'll see the breadcrumbs throughout the season where they're like, oh, Joe, he's bad. David, he's bad, whatever. And like, we'll rewatching it, we'll be able to see it a lot more clearly, I think.
Yeah. But
I think right now I'm also not sure.
So let's bring you down memory lane that you don't want to go down. So you had 71 confessionals. D had 63. It always shocks me that Katara and Drew were tied for second most on your season with 65. Blows my mind that Katara got more than D, because I feel like she only talked about Bruce for 95% of the season. So you had the most with 71.
That's a gold though, you know. That's give me true. Another 60 more for that, you know?
There you go. Charlie had 84 to Kenzie's 75. Sam had 93 to Rachel's 86. And right now, Kyle has 56, Eva has 48, and Camilla has 36, if we were looking at one of the women potentially beating him. He does lead the season, just like all three of you other fine men who finished second place.
Were we leading by episode 10? I'm guessing that's too much math to do right now.
But Charlie definitely was not. Kenzie was beating Charlie pretty good going into episode 11. And then episode, so Charlie went 16, 10, 11, his final three episodes. Kenzie went 9, 5, 5.
16. Oh yeah. I remember that was a whole thing. Yeah.
And that was when the internet was mad at Charlie, because it just jumps around at who it's mad at all the time. You know, the proverbial internet is just hating on everybody.
You want a lot of confessionals, but you don't want too many, because then people will hate on you.
That was the other thing. Rick Devins always killed me. He's like, no, I started calling CBS telling them, stop editing me. I hate this so much. Stop. Why are you doing this? But it, yeah. And then when you look at Sam, Sam ended the season with 27 and Rachel had 27. So he did have the most going into episode. He had the most going into 11, but then Rachel actually jumped him. And then in your season,
Emily was the top at 10, right?
Yeah. Emily was the top at 10 for sure. And then I think you or Katara were second. So you were still ahead of D. So most confessionals doesn't necessarily mean winning, but I don't know if I'm looking at like what Kyle has going for him right now and saying, well, he's falling into what you, Sam, or Charlie had, because I feel like with you, Sam, and Charlie, we were getting a lot of content, but like he said, it was a lot of narration of like, this is what's taking place on the island and we're going to tell the story. Whereas I feel like Kyle, he's narrating a little, but I feel like Joe and Eva might be doing a little bit more narrating and Kyle's actually doing more of the strategic gameplay.
Yeah. Which I think is the better edit to be getting, honestly. Like you get to see it, like anyone could be like, oh, like this person's there, this person's there. Like a lot of my beginning confessionals were like, I have this advantage. It does this. I have this advantage. It does this. I'm going to use this so I don't lose a vote. And instead I get to upgrade this to another round. And like, that was a lot of my early confessionals, just like explaining the game, which sucks. You know, it's boring. Yeah. It's lame. No one, like, it doesn't matter. The more interesting ones are the ones that are like, oh, like in order to get to here, I have to flip this person here. I have to like nudge this person this way, work with this person. I do think, like you're saying, Kyle's getting a lot of those. I mean, we had that whole episode with Kyle and Camilla in the pre-merge that was like one of the better episodes of the entire season, where they were able to, were at the tribe swap and they were with Shaheen and I think David and Joe, and they were able to like flip it and make that plan work. So I could see either Camilla or Kyle at this point. It seems like that's their like big move, and that's going to be a big part of Final Tribal if either of them go there.
So who do you have as your number three?
My number three, I have Shaheen. Okay. Are we different?
We are different.
The reason being is he's one of the two people whose name was not brought up this episode. The only other person whose name didn't come up was Eva's. I could see people, because he is like very clearly a threat. Like he's very social. He's very smart. He's playing the game hard. But I think people's eyes are on other players, and I think he will be safe at least one more round.
So we're not different by a lot. I have Shaheen at four. So it's not that much of a difference, but I do have Camilla ahead of him.
Got it.
I love Camilla's spot right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like Kyle has the better chance to win, but Camilla actually does hold all the power, because I think that if Joe and Eve, if Camilla can get in people's ears and say, this is what we need to do, who's coming to Camilla? Mary's coming to Camilla. Kyle's coming to Camilla. And I think that there's a chance Mitch might start coming to Camilla a little bit more now that he's starting to see how things are shaking. Shaheen and Camilla are having good conversations, and they have a little bit of a bond going on. I feel like Camilla also is not in the mouth of Joe or Eva right now, right? Because that was the whole reason they voted David out of the game, was why are you so worried about Camilla? Why is that affecting how you feel about Shaheen and Kyle? We don't like that. You got to go. So now if they start bringing up Camilla, Kyle's going to fight against that. And then they're going to look like big hypocrites if they start being like, well, we got to get rid of Kyle for this. So I actually think Camilla's in a really good spot. She's managed to protect herself. And somebody had, I think, left it as a comment here where they were like, what a lot of these strong guys like David didn't realize with Mary, and now what Kyle might not necessarily be realizing with Camilla, is Camilla's using Kyle as a meat shield. Like it's like this non-meat shield alliance. We're just all going to be strong, but Camilla has found a way to have a meat shield where her name is almost not allowed to come up. I mean, the most telling part was last week for me when Camilla told Kyle that she was ready to flip and she was going to force a 4-4. And Kyle's next scene is talking to either Joe or Shaheen. And he says, oh, Camilla's totally strong with the six. Totally strong. She's ready to go with us. And it was right after she had said, I'm going to flip on these people. I thought that was really telling. So I have Camilla at three, and then I have Shaheen at four.
Listen, we are very different with Camilla, but you're convinced. You've convinced me, and I feel dumb for where I put her now, but I'm just going to stick with my guns and go with this power ranking. But like, I agree with everything you said right there. And that little edit call out you had at the end, I didn't even catch that. So I think you're right, but like I said, I'm just gonna stick with what I came in here with.
I've been wrong a lot more than right. I've been hopeful on this season more often, and that has led to me not getting as many points as I could if I just went with the status quo.
Fair enough. I mean, like you said, I do think Camilla, like, theoretically is in a really cool spot, like an interesting spot where you have a lot of like sneaky power to to blow up the entire game. Like, she could blow up the entire game. She could completely, you know, run Kyle over with a bus and like blow up his game and just shoot everything open. She could work with the underdogs better than anyone else can because she's got info on both sides. She can work with the top people. Like, she's in a really interesting spot, but it is like very nuanced where you could screw it up very easily as well. Someone can turn on you. But yeah, anyways, I'll save that for my Camilla spiel. For number four, I have Joe. So just rounding up the final of the top four. I think he's mainly safe because if Eva catches wind on anything, she will protect him. I think that's the one person that she will use an advantage on to protect. But I do think of the strong four, Joe is the most likely one that the bottom players are going to try to attack if he doesn't win immunity. And I'm putting a lot of stock into the next time on Survivor where Kyle's like, I have to hurt someone, you know, or I forget what he said, but he's basically just like, I have to choose between two sides, like my two different alliances. And what comes up in my mind are, okay, like Joe and Camilla maybe, because Joe's his closest person in the four and Camilla is his number one, and he might be forced to be put in a situation where he has to choose between either of them. So that's why I have Joe as four instead of, you know, one, two, or three.
I need the Liz gif of her going boo, tomato, tomato, boo, because you just put the top four. You're saying nothing's going to take place this week, Austin. You're saying that it's going to be the status quo, that the strong are going to stick together. Oh, no.
You know, I'm just being hopeful. I don't want to put myself in a lose-lose situation where I get excited, nothing happens. At least now, if nothing happens, I can be like, just look at my power rankings, what I predicted.
Yeah.
But if something does happen, it's like, all right, worth it.
That's what I currently did last week with Andy. I convinced myself so much that Eva was going to go that when her name didn't come up, I'm like, these people are stupid because they didn't do what I said. What's wrong? That makes it that just there,
man. You could tell them, be like, guys.
Yeah, I know. I should have texted them all and said, you better vote Eva this week. Right. Like, that would have worked. That would have gotten them. I have Shaheen. I already said that I have Shaheen at four. I am putting Shaheen in the middle because he is in the middle and his name didn't come up last week, like you already said. But I don't know how he gets voted for. I don't know what his total end game goal is, though, either. So I don't really know where to put Shaheen. He's had some great confessionals. He's had some bad confessionals. He's had some great moments. He's had people trying to target him, but nothing last week. And now we're at final seven. I don't see Joe or Eva going after him. If Camilla is able to scrounge together the underdogs here, they're not going to scrounge together to vote out Shaheen. They're going to get together to vote out Joe or Eva. Why would you get together to vote out Shaheen? That defeats the purpose. Now Joe and Eva know it's coming and they're still a strong pair. So I feel like Shaheen's in a good spot. I also feel like, and this was kind of my pitch last week of what Kyle didn't make a move last week, is he's waiting for somebody else to make that move with him. And I think Shaheen is enough of a student of the game to know this is the time to make that move. And I could see Shaheen being willing to make the move with Kyle. So now Kyle's more comfortable to go with Camilla. And now Kyle, Camilla, Shaheen and Mary, who's dying to make a big move, get together. Mitch goes with them. He does have the right plan, but Mitch ultimately gets no credit for making that move because others made it with him. And then that's why he's getting this kind of up in the air.
I like that, where it's like he's getting this weird edit, not because his move doesn't end up happening, but because he doesn't get any credit for it.
It's kind of like Stu, right? Last season, where it's like Sue got no credit for anything she did, even though she did some things.
Yep, I like that interpretation. That would be an exciting way to end. And I agree with what you're saying. I think Shaheen is like a very sharp player. And I think he is, like you said, a student of the game. And he's really thinking of it like very strategically every single day. I feel like he's someone who's like, you know, goes to sleep and he's like eyes open for a while, thinking, playing like the different permutations. So hopefully something will happen. Because for him, it does make sense to like ride with the strong four up until now. But at seven, that is one, like, the last real golden opportunity to make a move. Six is really hard. Once again, you have the risk of rocks. And then when you're at five, it's just like there's not really much room to maneuver. It's like you're locked in with the people who trust you, and there's not enough time to build trust with people who don't trust you. So final seven, like, this has got to be when they make the move.
And Eva's idol is still good through five. So if you let her get to five with the idol, she can use it at five, and then she's sitting there making fire, worst case scenario.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. Yeah.
So where do you go at five?
So at five, and I almost put him as four and swapped Joe with him, but in the end, I ended up putting Mitch as number five. I think he is, you know, safe for the most part. He, like I said, like, I think the reason why he didn't make a move this episode is because he felt strongly that he had and has the numbers to make a move this next coming round. Even if he doesn't, I think he is pretty safe because of the other people on the bottom. I don't think they're like, I think more people would be down to vote out Mary from the strong group versus Mitch, for example. You know, I think it sounds like he has a decent relationship. Like Shaheen this episode was saying how funny he is, how much he likes Mitch. So I don't think he'll like bring up Mitch's name unless it gets brought up to him. I think similarly with Kyle. And like he's been hanging out with the strong group. So I don't think he's on their radar. It's like, we need to vote him out right now. But once again, like I might be a little ignorant with that because I don't even remember, like his name's been written down a few times, right? Already.
Yeah. I think early on, and I always have a harder time tracking who's had their name written down in the new era, just because like, I feel like stuff changes so often and there's different reasons with people who lose votes and stuff, but he definitely has had his name written down. He was written down. He had three votes at the David one, which is why I don't think he was willing to make a move last week, because his name was written down by Star and Mary, which is
totally valid. Yeah. You know, it becomes personal when someone writes your name down. Like, okay, like people are ripping on him for not being willing to go to rocks with the person who voted for him to go home the last episode. Yeah. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, any player would be like, yeah, I don't know if I really trust working with someone who actively is trying to get me out or was trying to. Like, how can he just, you know, go one night being like, I'm voting for you, I voted for you, and then wake up the next day and be like, no, we're cool, we're best friends, I'll never vote for you, we should work together. You know, it's a hard pitch to sell. And you know, Star, I feel like we haven't talked much about Star. Maybe we should at the end of this power ranking a bit, just to give her flowers a little bit, but I'll save that for then. But yeah, I think Mitch is safe.
And I have Mitch at five. So the only time he had his name written down were at the David vote, by the two people who ultimately end up wanting to go to rocks with him, and then David, who goes home. That was the only time his name's been written down. And I do feel like he reminds me of Ben, and I feel like I'm starting to catch this a little bit more. So maybe he's your zero vote finalist or something, but I feel like them leaving in this story about him running away from a dog and hitting his head on the tree and going unconscious and getting a concussion and all of that, and Shaheen then having the comment of like, I love Mitch, he's so funny. Why? Like, I get it's an hour and a half episode and it was a bad episode, but why are we seeing that? There's a reason. No,
that's a good point. Cause I actually, like, if I had to guess who was going to get third place, my number one thought went to Mitch. But when someone's saying how great they are and how funny they are, like, that sounds to me like a potential vote maybe, but I don't see Mitch winning. So that is confusing. And that's a good point. Like, why did they show that? They had a lot of like interesting, but I think entertaining edit choices this episode. You know, that one story, I love listening to the Camp Life. Like, Camp Life is one of my favorite things to watch. But then also, like, you had the Star rap, and you had like obviously the Chicken and Waffles, that controversial song. We can get into that later if we want, but yeah, no, I that was another interesting choice, and I'm wondering how it'll tie into the story overall. But I think if anything though, it just shows like, okay, Mitch is really lovable and likable. He's in a good position. Like, people don't actively want to get him out. So maybe that's all it was trying to say, and we're looking too deep into it.
The week before, he's teaching Star how to swim.
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing.
Like,
yeah.
Like we're getting a lot of that kind of stuff from Mitch, and maybe he's just a good guy, right? Like, David got this massive edit, and I was reading more into it. And maybe Jeff is also kind of messing with us a little bit now, because I know in his podcast, I think it was last season with Charlie, he had said that there is no winner at it. People insist that there is, but there is no winner at it. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, but I could see Gabler's win coming if it wasn't going to be Jesse, because you edited him better than you edited Cassidy, which is insane, because everybody thought that it was like Cassidy has more going on. No, but Gabler wins, and that's where it was. D's edit. Even though you had more confessionals, you even said you're explaining the game. D's explaining what's going to happen in the game. And then it makes sense. So maybe they're messing with us a little bit. Maybe it's like, see, there is no winner edit. Here's Mitch getting a bunch of content, but it's about how he's a good dude and everybody just really likes him. Everybody has called him a threat on this season.
That's a good point. That's a good point, which makes me think now, changing my thought, like he isn't a third placer. Like maybe they clip him as, you know, in the fire or as final five or something, as like someone who's a threat to win, because honestly, now that like he hasn't really burned the jury at all, right? Like, because he hasn't been the one making the moves. Maybe people are worried that that's what the jury wants, that the jury's going to hate the people who were making the moves. So he has like this huge case because all he did was be good vibes and make friends. And like people really enjoyed being around him and working with him. And when you're scared of a bitter jury, the thought of someone coming in and taking like all the votes for being a really likable person is terrifying.
Yeah. So I don't know if they'll end up voting for him at the end just for being, I think he has to make some sort of move, but I am like one of the few people who's not totally counting Mitch out. The internet's like, what was it? He's got his like the finger wag thing that's going around now. And people are like, is there anybody who's worse at Survivor than you? And he's got the finger wag going. It's just like, my God, people are roasting this poor man, but I'm not counting him out totally. I do also have him at five. So I just don't see him. The only way he goes home this week is if the strong alliance sticks together and also determines that somehow Mary isn't a bigger threat to get rid of, which I feel like at this point, Mary should be the bigger threat because she has no alliance with anybody. She was the alternate vote last week and she's trying to cause some chaos. Mitch isn't. So that's why I have my five.
Yeah, no, I think people are very much underestimating Mitch's game. I don't think he wins, but I think he is playing. He's gotten to this point in the game and people still really like him. So I think that's a testament to at least his social game.
Yeah. I'll close mine out first so that we can, have the best go last here. But I have Mary at six and then I'm keeping hope alive. I'm watching Samoa. Russell says it like 12 times. Keep hope alive. I'm putting Joe at seven. Joe, ooh. I like you. I like you as a person, right? I like you actually as a Survivor player. But for the sake of this season, I am keeping hope alive and I'm putting you at seven so that there is a change in power and that you're going to go home. Mary is most likely going to be the boot, and this is very much looking like a steamroll season. But maybe, just maybe, we had all of this content about Joe's going to go. Joe wins immunity. That's still fresh in people's minds coming into this next episode. Remember, this is only, for everybody who's listening, this is only a day or two later. We're all waiting 7 days. They're waiting 1 or 2 days before they get another opportunity to boot Joe. If they already had that ammunition and that ability to make it happen, yes, you lost one of the numbers, but now Kyle can talk to Shaheen and say, do you really think you can beat Joe? Really? Do you think you can beat Joe? And the answer is no. This is the time to make it happen. This is the last chance for it to happen. If Joe wins immunity, I don't think they boot Eva. I think Mary goes. So that's why I put Mary at six. But I'm just going to say, you know what? Joe goes. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be an epic blindside. Jeff teased at the beginning of the season a lot of blindsides. There honestly haven't been that many, right? Like in the post-merge, who's been blindsided? David, that's it. Charity wasn't. Say wasn't. Cedric wasn't.
Did they say that they weren't, that they knew that it was happening?
Pretty much. Like, or they weren't blindsided to the extent, like, Say knew that she was going to get some votes, Chrissy knew that she was going to get some votes. David said that once his name came up, he said, oh crap, I'm done. Because he was like, why would my name ever come up? So I don't feel like there's actually been that many blindsides, other than, Justin was a blindside early. Bianca was a blindside, but there haven't really been any now. Thomas was a blindside. I need to see more blindsides. Jeff promised me. I'm putting Joe at seven.
Nice. I love it. And you know what? Maybe we should end on you because that was the inspirational message I think us as fans needed to hear as we close out this podcast. But I'll go into my more standard list where I actually have for number six, Camilla, which like I said, you had her much higher than I did. And I really loved all your reasonings. And now I don't feel very comfortable putting Camilla at six. The reason why I have her here, it was just, I just waited so heavily the next time on Survivor where Kyle's like, I have to pick between, you know, two close allies. And I think the two people in my mind were Joe and Camilla. And for some reason, I feel like he might be eclipsed Camilla. Cause like at this point, his game is most similar to Camilla's. So if they're both at the end, they're likely splitting votes with each other and then letting whoever goes with them as a third have a shot at winning and beating them because they will be splitting their own votes amongst each other. So it could be a smart move for him to clip Camilla, especially if he thinks that she'll be a vote for him in the jury, that he thinks that she will, you know, be a voice for him at the jury. But it's also really tough because if he very outright backstabs her, I could see that blowing up in his face as well. But yeah, I just have Camilla low because I'm like, okay, maybe the choice is Kyle's to make between two people. Joe, it could be someone else, but I think if he's making a choice, like Camilla has to be one of those people that he's choosing between. So that's why I have her.
I like that reasoning of, you know, they're playing such a similar game, because that is scary if you get to the jury and Kyle and Camilla are playing a similar game. And, you know, Kyle, he's not playing up the honesty and integrity thing as much as everybody else in that alliance. But if that ends up biting him in the ass at that tribal, Camilla's going to clean up with all those votes. And
yeah,
look, I am definitely not writing off Camilla. I know a lot of people, they wanted to say she was purple because she had two episodes with one confessional. And it's like, no, yeah. She's in it.
No. I wish we could see more Camilla, but hey, it could be just like the little like cook in until she takes off.
Yeah.
Like, I think this could be another breakout episode for her coming up. It sounds like she might be a big focus of it. And like you said, like Kyle has said in this episode, like he's worried about how the jury might perceive him, that they're worried about blindsides, being like they don't like people blindsiding. And like Camilla seems to have less blood on her hands. And if I were Kyle, I'd be terrified of going against a potential bitter jury with someone who did everything you did, but without pissing people off. In fact, with the person working with the people on the bottom and giving them hope and befriending them and talking with them for much longer of the game, I think Camilla is an absolute jury threat. I think if she gets in the end, she could be a sneaky shot at winning the whole thing for sure. So I do think that Kyle, I think he's a smart player. I think he might realize this and ultimately might end up choose to send her home when he has to choose between them, because his game is much more different than Joe and Eva's than it is with Camilla's. And I think he thinks that he can make a case against those two, whether or not he actually can.
I hope they split. He picks up the rest and he wins.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm wondering if that's what people might be thinking too. It's like, oh, Joe and Eva, not only do they have all the advantages and they're scary, but I also want to vote for them because if they go to the end, they'll be splitting votes with each other. And like, maybe I can sneak in. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in more people's final threes than what we think, you know, as viewers.
I think from an edit, I'm sitting here saying it's obvious Joe would get all the votes over Eva unless he tells people to vote for Eva. So that's why I'm like, guys, you got to see that Joe's getting 7 votes if he sits at final tribal with Eva. It's not going to be 2-2 or 3-3 or whatever it is. It's like he's getting the majority of those votes, but you know, maybe that's just
Maybe, but we have like the confessionals of people saying like, oh, like Mary, for example. I think Mary would vote Eva over Joe just from what we heard last episode, for example. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to tell. Eva does have good relationships with a lot of people. It doesn't seem like she's really pissing people off. She's a straight shooter, which I think people respect a lot in the game. But who knows? Who knows?
And you're now saying that Mary's going to get to action her right as a juror very soon because you have her at 7.
I have her at 7, sadly. And I know I went on earlier in the podcast about how like I'm most confused about where she's going to be placing. But right now, I think it just like makes the most sense for her because she got the second, you know, she got a lot of votes this last episode. Her eyes have been on her for a few episodes now. There's a lot of momentum going towards Mary. It'd be so easy for someone to just be like, hey, we've all already voted for Mary. Like, let's just do one more time. I'll add my vote now. And like, we're good. And we saw last episode, Mary was willing to go after Kyle while Camilla's not. And I could see that coming up again this episode where Mary will be like, hey, like we should go for Kyle. And that blows up in her face and everyone ends up voting up for Mary instead. I'm more hoping that this next time on Survivor will come into fruition, or your theory, because it'd be far more entertaining than just, you know, voting out Mary after her being on the bottom for the past few episodes already. But just wanted to make a logical pick. I think it's most likely Mary is going home.
I mean, I get it. And I think based on how this season has gone, that's where most people's heads are at. If I was a smart man, I would do it. But as the person over here said, the copium and the hopium are very, very high, and they are high right now. I'm having an overdose. Who do you ultimately think is going to win the season?
Gosh. Oh, man. That's so tough. Like, my instincts either Joe or Kyle, with Camilla as like a sneaky threat if she like picks up this next episode. I think most likely, like, my money's probably on Kyle at this point. Kyle. I think the storyline has been very favorable for him. I think, you know, he's leading in confessionals. I think he's in a really good spot, and he has a story that's different from like anyone else in the Strong Four, where they're just like, I found my alliance, I rode with them all the way to the end. He at least has like, I was playing both sides. I was kind of in the middle. I had opportunities to flip. I flipped here. So I do think he has a good story. I do think, like, with Kyle versus Camilla, I think a lot of their relationship has been told in the eyes of Kyle so far. And I think that from an edit perspective, he has a higher chance of making it to the end than Camilla. But who knows? Once again, like, I could see this next episode, Camilla really popping off and taking over and taking that shot at Kyle. Like, maybe Kyle's going to be all like, oh, I have to pick between, you know, Joe and Camilla. And then she catches wind and is like, all right, well, let's just get Kyle now. Yeah. But right now I think he's gotten a lot of really good personal content. He's gotten a lot of strategic content. You know, he had the whole thing about, like, he's had like a, I don't know, his confessionals scream like he's winning to me.
That's but how I feel like too.
Yeah. Like a red herring kind of thing.
It was early on in the season, they were giving David so much content that I was like, this guy's going to win because he's not losing and he keeps getting content. And then it was like, no, David was just a really important player on this season. Kyle has been so consistent,
mm-hmm.
and Kyle has consistently gotten great content. Like, there hasn't been anything negative about content. You think about the personal stuff we've gotten with Kyle back on the beach with all four of them, with Shaheen and Camilla and Joe, and the things that he shared there. We think about what he shared with Joe about being arrested and all of those. Like, to me, exactly. It's starting to feel like Kyle. And I think that for Kyle to win, though, I think that would require a pretty satisfying, for a lot of viewers, ending here, where there's going to have to be a blindside or two for sure.
Yeah, no, I would not be upset with that at all. Honestly, I'd be very, like, I wouldn't be upset with most people winning, you know, like Eva winning. I think that would be really cool. Joe winning, I think that'd be really cool. Shaheen, I'd be excited to see that. I really want to see him go at it at Final Tribal. So, like, I'm hoping that he makes it there. I feel like when people are talking about a second place edit, that's kind of what I'm saying of Shaheen more so. Mm-hmm. I don't know, reading the edit, it's impossible really for the most part. So
yeah, this season's been way tougher too, because everybody keeps saying, well, it's very obvious with like Joe and Eva, but like people are split 50-50 on whether Joe or Eva is getting the dominant edit. And then now a lot of people are starting to say Kyle. It's like, so you have three people out of seven who feel like legitimate winner contenders. And then you have some people who are like, well, what about Shaheen and Camilla? We have a lot of people who can win. The only one I really am writing off is Mary at this point.
Yeah. I agree. And to be like, I'm sad to say, but like, I don't think Mitch is winning either. Those are the two people who I'm like, okay, I don't really see a case for, given what we know of them, what we've seen of them. Their whole story has been like, they're on the bottom, they're stuck at the bottom, and they can't get out of the bottom kind of thing. And they're running out of opportunities. And even if they get to the top, it'll be for what, an episode maybe?
Yeah.
So I don't really see them winning because of that, but I do enjoy that, like, this season, when we're talking about the edit, it has seemed to be edited in a way where it's like, there are a lot of contenders at the end. And that is exciting. Cause I think the finale will be a good episode regardless of what happens in the next, because I think it is so open. Whereas other seasons where they might be better leading up to it, you kind of know going into it, who is probably going to win. I think a lot of people knew on my finale, D was probably going to win this season. And for 48, it's not clear. You know, there's so many contenders.
And Rachel felt very obvious last season.
Yeah, exactly.
She felt very obvious. I feel like, yeah, I mean, Kenzie versus Charlie was pretty dramatic. Jam was pretty obvious. Gabler was dramatic. Marianne was obvious. like it kind of goes back and forth. So I'm into this. I'm hoping that it's, I'm hoping that we get a finale that's just five contenders. I mean, the thing is, if Joe's not going to go this week, then give me a final five that is Joe, Eva, Shaheen, Kyle, and Camilla. Give me that final five.
Yes.
If we're not going to lose, if we're not going to get a big move this week, that's what I want the final five to be, because I'm going into that episode saying any of them can win.
Yep. And hey, that could totally save the season. Like, a crazy, epic, amazing finale will write off four slower episodes in the middle of the game, for sure.
Because people forget. I mean, the losing votes early on was stupid, but the pre-merge was pretty solid for this season.
The pre-merge was excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining, Austin. Always a pleasure. Great to have you on. Somehow, I only have two predictions of Power Rankings episodes left for the rest of the season. Oh. I don't know how that happened already. I feel like we've flown through this, even though it's been a slog at times. But I'm going to be back on Wednesday night with Will, recapping the episode at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. Also, there's a very good chance that on Monday night, I'll be doing an interview. This is just like a random one-off kind of thing. An interview with Joseph Dorowski and Kate Dorowski, they have a book coming out to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Survivor called Survivor, A Cultural History. So they're trying to do like some promotion for that. So on Monday night at 5 p.m. is what it looks like we're going to be podcasting that. I started reading the book. It's pretty interesting because it's more of an academic like approach to why Survivor's been such a cultural phenomenon. It's pretty cool. So there's a chance that might be happening on Monday night. So check that out at 5 p.m. Follow us on social media so you can know more about that. Wednesday with Will, Thursday back with Blake. All of that fun stuff. Otherwise, become a patron. Patreon.com/specialist. We're making our way through token chains. And then we're going to be getting into Samoa right after the finale of this season. So thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody.